Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
I'm nationwide. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very excited about having David Adler back on the show. David, you may have seen the PBS Nova documentary on behavioral finance. David was a producer of that. He's also the co-editor of Understanding American Economic Decline. He is the author of Snap Judgment, which we've talked about on the show before, and he's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, and he's back. David Adler, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, and you're joining us all the way from London, England.
Yes, I'm here right now. As a financial reporter, I spent a lot of the time of the year in London, which frankly looks like it's been hit by a neutron bomb.
Really?
I mean, the whole city, yeah. There are empty storefronts anywhere, and I'm staying in Chelsea, which is a nice neighborhood. It's just,
right.
Of course, it's partially August, but that's not the whole story. You know, the crisis is right in your face here.
Right. Well, I thought when the English moved out, the Arabs moved in the summer.
It's Ramadan.
That's right. Oh, I forgot. That's right. In the middle of Ramadan, but
it is. So everyone's gone home.
Right. Exactly. So talk to us a little bit about Europe, because so as Europe goes, to some degree, either from the standpoint of our interconnectedness. Or as a canary in the mine shaft, as Europe goes, so goes America. What do you think?
Well, parts of Europe are doing very well. Like Germany is doing extremely well. You know, it cut its salaries. It's very productive.
They took their medicine, didn't they?
They took their medicine, but other countries have not taken their medicine. And England is, you know, offshore, as they say, and it's somewhere in between.
Yeah. So what do you think about? But still, they're part of the euro, even though England is not on the currency. They're all. It's all. Basically one economy, isn't it, other than the fiscal parts?
Well, England is not part of the euro, but it's heavily dependent upon financial services.
Right.
That and marketing. They don't really make anything in England. So with finance going down the tubes, it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So how long a trip back do you think England will have? I mean, could it be a generation, a decade?
Well, everyone thought Thatcher turned around England. You know, it got on the right track, and now it seems going back to be... England used to be known as the sick man of Europe.
Right.
So it's a risk that will happen again. But really, the real concern is not about England. It's, will America go the way of England? That's,
right.
You know,
that's,
what we really need to worry about.
That's what I meant while ago in terms of, you know, there. But, you know, are we looking at ourselves when we look across the ocean at what's going on in Greece and Portugal and England?
Yeah, well, you have to worry if the U.S. is heading there. In fact, you tell me, how worried are you?
I'm pretty worried.
Yeah, I'm pretty worried too.
I think that's the general state of affairs. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, entrepreneurs are pathological optimists. But and the people I work for, my small business audience, you know, we're all pathological optimists, but we're also realists. We make payroll on Friday, and so yeah, I was writing about the uncertainty. Before anybody was, months and months and months ago, I was writing. As I moved around the country talking to people in the marketplace, the one thing that I felt I was getting from them was uncertainty. And you and I both know, uncertainty is, you know, it manufactures inertia, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, as we both know, there are a lot of headwinds facing entrepreneurs in the U.S. as well as England.
Well, but you know what? Interestingly enough, though, David, I mean, it's a mixed bag out there. And, of course, it depends on what industry you're in. Some industries are so systemically locked up that they just, you know, can't get out of their tracks, like housing, for example. And there are a few others. But there are a lot of people out here across America who are doing pretty well.
That's good to hear. But as I said to you time and time again, there are still problems in the U.S. financial system, which is still keeping credit
very tight.
Talk
to us about that. Talk to us about that, because that's really your wheelhouse.
I mean, that's pretty much my focus. The point is, interest rates have never been lower. I mean, the Fed's interest rate to banks are, you know, approaching
QE2, right? Quantitative easing redux.
Whatever. The government's trying everything it can to keep interest low, which in theory should make borrowing cheap and easy.
Right.
But in fact, if you look at interest that people actually have to pay, say, on their credit cards,
It
isn't that low.
Right.
Meaning interest rates, effective interest rates for people outside of the largest companies are fairly high. And my argument is that is one thing that is constraining U.S. growth. It's still not that easy to get a bank loan. Interest rates are high. There's still a credit problem in the U.S. economy. The credit crunch is not over. And to me, that's the main problem facing the U.S.
What do you think? I tell you what, before we go, I want you to come back after this next break and tell us where you think we're stuck and what you think it's going to take to get unstuck. But it's more than just a credit, David. The uncertainty that I'm hearing from small business owners is really not about as much about credit as it is about the public policy side.
It's a double punch. It is
double jeopardy. Quick break, right back with David Adler after these messages. Twin Tail, his book is called Snap Judgment. Stay with us. Little Canned Heat bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff that will help you there with your small business. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out the blog, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, the knowledge base, and the poll question. Every week we have a different poll question. And when you answer the question on the front, on the homepage there, you'll be able to see immediately how the poll's going so far. Having a great visit with our good friend David Adler, the author of Snap Judgment, among other books that he's written. We're talking about the economy, some of the headwinds. David, there are a lot of toxins that are part of any kind of a cycle. Unemployment, housing, automobile sales, consumer confidence. Those are all toxins that have to be washed through the system and have to be dealt with before things can turn around. And those are things that you were talking about a minute ago. Those are things, but as I said, they're pretty much part and parcel with any kind of an economic cycle. One of the differentiators, though, of this one is the credit issue, which in the previous six recessions, David, that I've lived through and worked through, nothing like this was part of those others. This financial credit meltdown hasn't happened in like three, four generations, right?
No, we haven't had a credit crisis like this since the 1930s, where the banking system contracted and people were literally starved from credit. But even though we've been talking about credit, you are right that they're also, I mean, each public policy is making a bad situation worse. It's kind of like, it's not like bloodletting during a patient before we had modern medicine, but
Right. Everything
seems to be making things more toxic, more poisonous. So even above the credit problems, things are more certain and, you know, dangerous for entrepreneurs to take big risks right now.
Well, it's almost like the government, and I have to say, David, that let's be honest. Currently, the government is being led by President Obama, and if you look around, I don't throw him under the bus specifically on the show. I talk about the political class more than anything, but you have to be honest about this. It's almost like he's saying, "What can I say or do today that will demotivate entrepreneurs?" And then he says it.
It's not his background. It's not his interest. The thing is, the political class is taken care of. That's what we've learned during this.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, the people in government or people dependent upon the federal government are okay. They're the ones doing well. So, I mean, from their perspective, frankly, everything's fine.
And their rank and file underneath them have the same situation, don't they?
Yeah.
We've already seen this in terms of the money that they make, the benefits they have compared to what we have in the private sector.
Yeah, it's a giant patronage system. The problem is, I think even they know it can't be kept afloat indefinitely unless the private sector is allowed to grow again. But maybe that's a long-term problem and they're not worried about it.
But what's happening, David, in as they think about how do we solve this problem, their lurch is uncontrollably towards more taxes. And that's the kind of talk and that's the kind of action that makes a small business owner say, I'm not hiring any more people. I'm not going to take any unnecessary risks because I don't know if it's going to be worth it for me or not.
Well, yeah, also their lurch is sort of greater control for themselves. It's sort of a power grab with greater government involvement. So everything their lurch is doing is self-serving.
And we're, again, we're talking about the political class.
Right. We are talking about
Because if you look at, you know, I remember 40 years ago almost, a history professor of mine said, I was just, right out of high school, and pretty green and in terms of the political ways of the politics. And I remember he said this to us. He said, there's not a nickel's worth of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. And I remember thinking, that's a crazy thing to say, but you know what? He's more right than he was wrong.
Maybe, but I mean, a certain constituency within the Democratic Party is running things right now, and you could not say that's a pro-business constituency.
There's no question about that. I guess my point was from the standpoint of we had Republicans in the last decade, and you know what happened? They were in charge for a lot of the last decade. What happened?
Not that's true, but things, let's face it, are pretty bad right now.
So where
I can't really share.
How do we fix this, David?
Well,
what
do we
do?
One thing, we talked about these technical fixes to the banking system, which so far have not happened, which are fairly technical in nature, and would have to go against the banking lobby because it would cut into their profits. But above that, you know,
what would that be? What would that be, David? What do you recommend?
It would be basically making.
Are you talking about mainstream banks? Main Street banks?
No,
I'm
not. I'm talking about Wall Street banks. I'm talking about Wall Street. The problem is not in retail Main Street banking. That's fine.
Yeah.
Commercial banking, I mean, didn't screw up in the same way.
Right.
It's back to Wall Street banking, and it's a tactical argument. I keep arguing about having to revive securitization, where that would allow commercial banks to sell off their loans to other banks.
Right.
So the whole system is not stable. It hasn't been stabilized, and the reforms really were not strong
and
enough.
And yet the 2009 Wall Street Bank bonus pool, investment bank bonus pool, was the same size as it was in 2007.
Wow.
It was $100 billion in 2007. This is what I've been told. $100 billion in 2007 for the bank's bonus pool. We bailed them out in 2008, and in 2009, it was back to $100 billion.
Wow. I mean, the problem with the bailout is that the banks like Goldman Sachs said, well, we paid back the bailout, which is true, but they haven't paid back the collateral damage.
The havoc that they wreaked across the marketplace.
But back to this administration. This administration does not seem able to stand up to that sort of bank. It seems under their control. If not under their control, that sounds too conspirable. It's more on their wavelength, let's put it that way.
Is it going to take a revolution to get this?
I think, to be harsh as possible, it will take a new administration.
Mm-hmm. Hold on to that thought. Quick break. Tintail, right back with David Adler. His book is called Snap Judgment. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. David Adler is our guest. David's the author of Snap Judgment. That's his new book. David E. Adler is the name on the book. David, tell us how we can find your book and how do we find you online?
You can find the book at Amazon, Snap Judgment, and you can also find me at my own website, which is snapjudgmentbook.com.
So check that out. And also the work that you do, you work for... financial planning, right? You write for that magazine.
Right, I write primarily about my primary job is writing for Financial Planners, where I give advice to financial planners and Financial Planning magazine. But I also write for Institutional Investor, institutional focus.
You as we went to the break, David. You said you thought that the key to solving that things aren't going to get a lot better in terms of public policy until there's a new administration. Obviously you didn't say which way that should go, but do you think the next election, I mean, by all indications, the next election is going to be in November, the midterm, which is not a national election, all congressional, by all indications, there's going to be quite a bit of change after that election. Do you think that will help?
Well, it will help only some degree, but policies will still come from the government. I mean, we had the election for right before the health care bill, where the public sent a message and the health care bill rolled on anyway. So, I mean, the only difference is there will be, you know, perhaps less of a majority or no majority. So
right now it's hard. Sometimes small businesses wonder if anybody's standing up for them.
It's not clear to me. I understand their concern. It's not clear anyone in the administration really seems to care a lot.
But there's a lot of lip service.
Well, of course there's lip service, but when the end of the day, I don't see many pro-growth policies. I would put it another way. It doesn't mean that we need a totally libertarian, no-government. I mean, if you look in the past, the government's done things that all Americans can enjoy.
And most small business owners would agree with that.
Right, okay, exactly. Like if you look at the interstate highway system.
Of course,
or airport,
national defense.
Yes, those are all things where the
Internet
can't.
Came from a government project.
Precisely. And so it'd be nice to see, rather than no government, which is a more radical extreme, it'd be nice to see some government initiatives that would help everyone. I don't know, it could be a high-speed train service
right.
like we have in Europe.
That's exactly right.
But right now, there's no sort of growth policies coming from the government. It's just, you know, tax and spend.
Yeah. Well, there does seem to be a lot of redistribution of wealth initiatives or conversations, and that's the kind of thing that does not make small business owners, does not make entrepreneurs want to take risks. I want to change subject just a little bit and talk about the difference between trading and investing. It seems that the national narrative on investing has been more about trading, becoming traders. If you listen to CNBC, it's all about the moment. It's not about the long term. There are more puts than calls, maybe I should say, or calls than puts, I should say. Do you get that?
But I think that's been a long concern that Wall Street had a casino mentality and moved well beyond its function of providing investment for the U.S. into
therefore it becomes an enemy of what you and I consider capitalism, doesn't it?
It's not helpful. It's a waste of resources. But there is one interesting technical problem, which is generally trading strategies are less successful in a flat market. That is, active trading works better when the economy is growing stronger and markets are going up. So the general idea in finance right now is, well, the stock market's going sideways or down, I'll trade my way out of it. In fact, that's harder to do than ever right now.
Yeah.
So you can't really take solace in trading. A lot of people feel, well, if I just buy and hold, nothing's going to go up.
But buy and hold is a passe strategy over the last 20 years, hasn't it been?
Well, it's taken the stock market, you know, in 10 years, it's gone nowhere. But the sad news is you can't trade your way out either.
Right. So what do you do?
I would say...
Buy real estate?
Well, that hasn't really worked either. There's no...
Now would be a good time to buy real estate if you got the money.
Well, there are a lot of illiquid assets that are cheap right now. Right now with real estate, there are a lot of property owners who have not put their distressed properties on the market.
Right.
Because banks have done something called extend and pretend. That is, the government's asked banks to extend their loans. But in about a year or two, there will be a lot of large properties coming onto the market, and so that could be an opportunity.
David, I got 30 seconds. What's your picture of the economy over the next 6 to 12 months in the U.S.?
I sort of sideways, but sideways like someone falling off a bicycle sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I think no one knows for sure if there'll be a double dip, but the fact that we're even talking about it is grim news.
Yeah. Sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Give us the website one more time, David.
SnapJudgmentBook.com.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today. Have fun over there in London. Don't work too hard.
Thank you very much.
All right. David Adler, ladies and gentlemen. David E. Adler is the title on the book, Snap Judgment. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.